Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what up? I see my brother Dave is already with me. What's up, Dave? I think Dave is with me. Hey, Dave, are you with me? I hope you're with me, brother. I hope we're on the air. I need somebody to give me a sound check here. Give me a sound check if, in fact, you hear me. Shoot me a text or something. Ulysses Butch Slaughter here with Sex and the Struggle. And ready to do this thing as we always do it. We do this every Tuesday around the same time. We do Sex and the Struggle. And it is... I hear you perfectly. Thank you, my brother. All right. I don't hear you right now, Dave. Thank you for doing the sound check with me, man. Join me as soon as you can. Sex and the Struggle here on Blog Talk Radio Tuesday night, the 30th of May. I'm excited because we got a lot of great stuff going on. If you want to call in and you want to be part of this discussion, you are welcome to call in and be part of this discussion. You can call 657-383-0185. Again, it's 657-383-0185. This evening, we're going to be talking about some real basics. I want to get down to the basics of some stuff, and I think I got my brother Dave back. Are you with me, Dave?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
I got you, man. Good to have you, man. Good to hear your voice as always. I was suggesting, Dave, that I want to get down to some of the basics this evening. Around some things, I'm putting out the notices about tonight's show about breaking and making the laws of sex.
Breaking. You've been coming up with some hot topics. I wonder where you're getting all of this.
It's almost summertime, man. I get hotter when it's summertime when the weather starts to break.
Well, I start.
But you know what? I can't lie, man. You know my girl Frenchie, and I hope that she'll join us soon. My girl Frenchie has had us on this promotion, Don't Wait, Fornicate. And so, you know, it's right in line for me, man. I mean, don't wait. I wrote something the other day where, you know, Frenchie is saying, don't wait, W-A-I-T. And I'm saying, don't wait, W-E-I-G-H-T. She's saying, don't wait, don't hold it off. And I'm saying, don't wait, W-E-I-G-H-T. Don't wait yourself down. Don't hold yourself back. Don't wait in either way. Don't anchor yourself. Don't stall yourself. And so when I was thinking about this earlier, I'm thinking about, okay, I think we need to break some of this stuff down, man. I think we need to talk about breaking and making the laws of sex. But I think there's some part that we need to talk about here. We need to talk about, first of all, what is sex, man? I think there's a notion that everybody understands what sex is. Mm-hmm. And so it's funny to me when we start to talk about sex, and I've had conversations with different people of different backgrounds about the ways and the reasons that I focus on sex in my forgiveness work. People ask me, what does sex have to do with forgiveness? And I'll get into some of that, but when I talk to different people, I imagine that different things are going through their minds about what is sex. And so based off of their experience, whatever their experience has been, whatever their education has been, they come to the conversation with particular filters and particular context for what sex is. So my thinking here is that if we're going to talk about breaking and making the laws of sex, maybe one of the first things we need to do is talk about what is sex.
Yeah, that's a very good topic because, for me, I know this is something that has been, you know, it has defined itself, it has redefined itself and continues to redefine itself as I grow older, as I get into new experiences. I've changed my mind and my thoughts about what sex is.
Likewise, Dave. Me too, man. I think anybody would acknowledge, and I acknowledge, that what I thought it was, what I thought I was engaged in, what I thought was part of me. I'll go back even 20 years ago. What I thought I was engaged in 20 years ago is not, I know it's not what I'm engaged in now.
Right.
And I'm
right.
not saying it's better or worse. I'm just saying that it's definitely different. And I will say, no, I am. I'm going to say it's better. No, I'm not going to even fucking lie about that, man. I'm not going to go way off philosophically here. This shit is better, man. It's just
definitely better.
20 years ago. It is better, man. I mean, it's so much better. So let me just stop with that old bullshit right there. I see one of the Davis sisters is already joining us. I'm going to go ahead and pull in. Does that sound like the Frenchie laugh?
That is. Good evening.
What's up, Frenchie? Good to have you, sister.
How are you?
Hey, good people.
I don't know what you caught coming in, sister, but we were I was about to do some old bullshit poetic waxing, and then I just pulled myself back because I was about to tell this lie about how 20 years ago, you know, sex for me 20 years ago it's no longer what it is for me now. And I was going to say some silly shit like, you know, it's not necessarily better or worse. It just And that would be a lie, Frenchie. It's better. It's better. And I just want to go ahead and claim it. Sex for me today is better than it was 20 years ago. I have a different orientation to it. I have a different appreciation for it. And I'm enjoying it a lot more. I just enjoy it a lot more. So,
if it's not better, there's something wrong. So.
I figured I'd let somebody else, you know, pull my coattails to that because I have to agree with you. If it ain't better, something is wrong. Absolutely,
yeah,
something is wrong.
Snag you on that one.
Thank you so much. This is why this is why I like you. You ain't going for that old bullshit. Thank you so much.
No, that would be a lie. Therefore,
So when we came in, I was saying to Dave that I wanted to get into breaking and making the laws of sex. And Dave was complimenting me on the ways that I've come up with some hot topics. And I was saying, well, I got to give Frenchie credit here because it's been this conversation about developing Project Don't Wait Fornicate that this really landed on me. I mean, that's what we're talking about with Don't Wait Fornicate. We talk about breaking and making the laws of sex, right? So,
yeah, that's a hot
I guess.
I see that. I've seen you advertising
you like
that. You've got a heavyweight cast of characters on that program. That's really hot. That is a really hot program. I'm really excited about
that.
It
is. Yeah, it's going to be really phenomenal.
You're bringing the all-star team with that.
Well, we may as well tell people what it is, and since we're going to start, you know, this inner talk and stuff, why don't you go ahead and break it down for them, Frenchie, because we're going to be talking about this a lot in the next 3 weeks. We're going to be talking about this constantly, posting about it. We got a lot of work to do around this, so talk to us a little bit about Don't Wait Fornicate.
So we decided to collaborate on this event, and the concept was born out of a series of celebrities posing as relationship experts. And so when I say that can be anyone from T.D. Jakes to Steve Harvey to Megan Good to other evangelical preachers and pastors and wives and husbands. And, you know, these celebrities presenting if God has spoken to them to give the moral authority to anyone else pertaining to their sex life. You have a host of arbitrary numbers about how to time and regulate when a woman has sex in particular. And as a sex educator, as someone who has empirical evidence and data and studies, that would suggest and and has evaluated, you know, the cultural, biological, physiological, and social factors that impact these moral attitudes that these people are claiming to be just and so, and code and law. You know, it amazes me that someone can come up with a random number like 90 days and people are like, yeah, that's it, that's it. Like, you know, where do these arbitrary numbers come from? Wait until you married. You know, that, wait until you're married to find out if you're truly compatible with this person. Wait until you're married to find out that your chemistry sexually doesn't connect to their chemistry. Wait until you're married to find out that your partner is not as good a communicator as you thought they were. Wait until you're married to find out that they don't pay their bills on time. You know, wait until you're married to find out that they're going to go out and cheat on you anyway. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, I wouldn't buy a car without seeing it and take it home and see how I feel about it.
Now I have to acknowledge, I have friends who have waited until they were married, and they've been married for many years. And I'm really genuinely happy for them. And they have a successful marriage. That is not the majority of the people who choose to wait, but it certainly is possible. But let's look at the numbers. If we are just going to look at the numbers, 3% of Americans practice celibacy in the U.S., 3%. And of that 3%, only 35% are men. So now what you just told this demographic and this population of other women, this other 65%, and then probably another 15 to 20% that's teetering on if they should suppress their own sexuality. They're going to wait and try and seek this 35% that is spread across the United States. Is that realistic?
And that's the 35% of the 3%.
Yes, 35% of the 3%. So, I don't know if baby Jesus is going to create some type of Uber system like Uber Foods or something to deliver one of these men from this 35% from what other, 50 states that we have. But, you know, when you start telling people these things without really evaluating all the other variables, you know, we do a disservice to people.
Well, one of the things that I like about the project that we're working on, Frenchie, is that it raises a very legitimate question. It says to people, where'd you get that from? Where are you getting this stuff from? Now, again, one of the things I like about this conversation that we have is that there's a way that we can get on this podcast, and I'm talking about me, you, Dave, Tazima, and we just, you know, we'd be very frank with folks. This is who we are. This is what we've done. And there are people out there that are listening, and they've probably done some of the same shit too. So it's not like, you know, we are saying anything extreme or anything that will surprise people. So here's the point that I'm getting at. I've seen and I've experienced situations where you can feel the heat. heat between you and the person. On they just feel it. It's damn, this feels incredible. And you decide, I decide, we having sex. It's like, you know, been 3 hours since we met, but who gives a fuck? This is right, and it's about to go down right now, right? I mean, how when people hear that, they go, what on the, you don't even know him. I mean, they go through all of this shit about how is it that you could do something like that? And I think what it boils down to is people are asking, how do you trust that situation? Or some people are even asking, don't you want more out of it? Don't you want a relationship? How can you do that if you're not even in a relationship with somebody? That really confounds this question of sexual expression, because those two things, waiting, the morality of waiting, and the desire, aren't necessarily the same thing. And I don't believe that they actually have to be the same thing. Now, I might sound like an immoral motherfucker, and I really don't care right now. But what I'm saying is, if two people feel like that's what they want to do, if it's between those two people, they grown-ass men, if that's what they want to do, they are making their own rules. And that's what I like about fornicate. We're saying make your own rules. It's just you and another person, or if you decide to be with six of y'all, I don't know however many people it is, but it's y'all, and it's what you all have decided to do, and it's okay. And it's okay for people not to want to join the two or three or four or five or six or whoever. It's okay, but the bottom line is make your own rules. That's what we're talking about. Breaking and making your own rules.
You know, Ulysses, I would also add that, too. I think that when we discuss rules, sometimes we try to apply rules to adults that we ordinarily would apply to young people.
Yeah.
Now, when you're, you know, say perhaps high school, your early collegiate life, you might want to take a little more time because especially for, you know, young women, I know that as a woman you can be easily distracted, okay? So, and the last thing you need is to be distracted and have that impede upon you studying and preparing for your classes and tests and that type of thing. I get that. But do not apply rules for someone whose brain still is not completely developed yet to an adult person who should be able to make rational decisions for themselves. And for whatever reason that you decide to wait with a person, it should simply be your own. See, the truth of the matter is we don't need a Dr. Phil, a Oprah, a Dr. Ruth to tell you whether you like somebody or not, or whether they like you. It's really simple. You can ask a basic question. Do you like me? If a pause, strap your bra back up, put your boobies back in, and then walk out the door. That's simple. That doesn't require Dr. Phil. It doesn't require Steve Harvey. It doesn't require waiting until you get married. On a basic level, just on a basic level, you should have a clear understanding of whether a person even likes you or not. Like, let's admit that these relationships, whenever you sleep with a person, are not working out because you genuinely just aren't connected. You genuinely just don't like each other. You genuinely are just going off of your physical attraction. You can say that, But don't say it didn't work because you didn't wait 90 days.
Right, right. I totally agree. I want to let the callers, listeners know that you are listening right now to Frenchie Davis. And my name is Ulysses Butch Slaughter, and my brother David Freeman is on with us. This is Sex and a Struggle, and we're talking about a couple of things here. We're talking about breaking and making the laws of sex, and we're also beginning some serious promotion around our upcoming event, Don't Wait Fornicate, which is going to go down in Washington, D.C., June the 24th, 2017. 5:30 to 7:30 at the Atlas Performing Arts Center, Nation's Capital. Let's see. We have an Eventbrite, and you can get your tickets if you want to make it there to Don't Wait Fornicate. If you are in the D.C., Baltimore, Virginia area and you want to be there, let's see. You can find Frenchie on Facebook. We'll get the Eventbrite to you somehow or another. I'm going to post that someplace where you can find it.
Yes, and don't wait at Eventbrite. It's real simple.
That's what it is.
Don't wait
all right.
at Eventbrite.com.
Good, good.
So don't wait.
Dave, let me ask you something.
Tickets.
That's right. That's right. Don't wait. Get your damn tickets. Dave, Frenchie was just talking about something that I want to see if you don't mind chiming in on here. Does sex, must sex, and liking a person go hand in hand in order for you to have sex? I mean,
well, that's
do you,
a good
I
question.
Mean, was,
and, yeah, well, I was just going to mention that to Frenchie because what she said something that I really like is that whatever reason you engage in this, you're doing this for your own reason, that this is not some conditioning that you grew up with, something from your background, your parents, your friends and peers, but this is you're doing this because of your reasons. You have your own reasons. And she also mentioned being distracted. And what I think about, what I thought about when she said that is how a lot of times we start engaging in exploring and opening up our own bodies and seeing what we feel. We associate those feelings, that nourishment that we get from this activity or whatever activity we engage in, we associate it with the other person. When I'm with this person, they make me feel this way. This person does this to me. This person, gives me so much pleasure. But the reality is all of this is in your body. Your body needs this nourishment. Your body has the capability to feel this. And really, I view sexual activity as a partnered practice that you're engaging in with someone else to enjoy together. But if you let your mind associate, it's not just associate, but you give all of the credit for the way that you're feeling about this is someone else, I think that's when you start to have difficulty separating yourself from this other person that you're engaging in. And I think that is one of the moments that I think this distraction comes from.
You know, that's a heavy way of looking at that, Dave. And I'd love to know your thoughts about that, Frenchie, because there's a space in there where somebody might say there's a slippery slope where you are feeling what you are feeling. Let there be no question about that. And there is another person there with you. Now, I agree with you, Frenchie, you know, from a woman's standpoint, I guess you can't strap up, you know, tuck your boobies in and keep moving. And the sex goes with you, right? And there's a way that whoever you were with impacts you a particular kind of way. So I always talk about, when I talk about sex and when I talk about relationships, I always talk about the exchange at the boundaries, that thing that is going on, that fire that is co-created between. I agree with you, Dave, that sometimes people don't take enough credit for the fire that they bring to the table of sex. And so they wind up associating all of that fire with one person. And I think if people claimed more of the fire, more of the sensation in the activity, that they wouldn't feel at such a loss if a person didn't show up. Does that make sense?
I certainly think it does. I would also add that I think that a huge problem is this, is that sexual bodies are commodified. And, you know, we keep counting. You know, how many partners have you had? Oh, here's another one. And we have to stop counting and commodifying the bodies. It's a person. It's not a count. So the moment that you start counting, you've turned that into an object. And when you turn somebody into an object, I think that's when you lose yourself in it. So I want to quickly refer to a very special book. It's one of my sex Bibles. It's a book by Thomas More. It's called The Soul of Sex, Cultivating Life as an Act of Love. And just this quick insert that I feel like is important. I have so much highlighted in this book, but it says, "It's difficult to acknowledge the powerful longings and desires of the soul. Often cause us to break family rules and betray social expectations. When morality is exploited as the means for keeping desire in check and for covering up outbreaks of love and longing, the result may be a special kind of depression that shows all the signs of an imprisoned heart and bound eros. It is a steep price to pay for the illusion of innocence."
Run that book again, please, Frenchie. Give us the title of the book and the author of the book.
The title of the book is called The Soul of Sex.
And that was Thomas More, correct?
Thomas More, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with Thomas Aquinas More, the saint dude.
No.
I totally agree with you. There's so many levels of this thing, so many levels of this conversation that, you know, we could break down over time and really just kind of dig into them. You came in a line, Dave and I were about to get into the question simply, well, what is sex? A lot of the time I'm talking about sex and everybody's not even on what it is. And from my perspective, that's okay. I think that, you know, those conversations where, that people try to hold around sex can be awfully confusing, because what matters in terms of the definition is what do the engaged think that it is. So, you know, if I'm an onlooker, if I'm watching somebody, who am I to say that they're not doing what it is that pleases them? If I was watching someone engaged, who am I to say, oh, you're not doing that right? Let me show you how to do that right. Sex is defined by the people who are engaged in it. Right and wrong is defined by the people who are engaged in it. Right and wrong is defined even before you engage physically by the people who are preparing to engage in it. So the question for me of what is sex, it is whatever those people engaged in the activity say it is. And nobody else should be able to say a goddamn thing about that.
Yeah, but they do. And
yes,
that's
they do.
The reality that we live in. So if we are going to take the reality that we live in, the only thing that we can do is change that reality. See, whoever controls the image controls the definition. And as long as the image is represented as something negative, as something demeaning, as something that is only used within the confines of marriage, as something that you have to put some type of arbitrary timeline on, that's what it's going to be. And that is why it is going to be in the confines of something that is wrong. So we have to change that image. We have to start telling our children, like, listen, I want you to hold off, not because it's bad, but because it's so damn amazing and the shit will take your breath because it's so awesome. And you're not ready for how awesome it is yet. versus you're not ready for the STI or the STDs or the heartbreak. Like, no one goes through life without heartbreak, so that's not the issue.
Right.
But we have to start talking about how amazing this stuff is. I've seen women leave their fucking kids to chase love or what they perceive as love. That's how something that makes you leave your fucking offspring must be something sick, wicked good. That is power. That is power. One pubic hair can pull a cart of horses. That is power.
If you're just tuning in,
you don't celebrate it enough.
I'm sorry, my sister Frenchie did. My name is Butch Carter. It's 9:30 already. Sex and the struggle. And if you are going to attempt to pull a cart of horses with a pubic hair, go right ahead.
That's right, baby.
And my man, Dave Freeman, is with us. Again, this is Sex and the Struggle. We've been talking about the law of sex, and we got a fantastic program, project, event coming up, Washington, D.C. We've been doing some live for a long time, and Frenchie has a concept that she calls Wait for Kate. We're going to collaborate on the first event, June 24th, 2017, 5 to 7:30, the Atlas Center. It's only like 50 of it. So if you want to, I don't know, maybe you want to come from New York, wherever you want to get to D.C. on June 24th, 2017, first thing you want to do is go to Eventbrite. Don't wait. Is that right, Frenchie? Eventbrite. Don't wait.
That's right. Don't
you
wait.
Can get a ticket
and
there.
Also, you know, we have so much more information as well on our Facebook page, and that's Libido Talk and Ulysses Slaughter Presents Don't Wait Fornicate. So you can look us up on Facebook. We post regularly through the week about the event. You can learn about our guest panelists. We also have a representative and the founder of the Incarnation Institute for Sex and Faith. So we have the Reverend Dr. Beverly Dale, who is a sex-positive theologian. So it's not just coming from, you know, oh, these people are wrong and you know, don't worry about marriage or this is not the path to get there. But it is about empirical information and definitely giving people the resources to assess their own sexual lives and who they impact. And that's what it's really, really about. And, you know, as sex educators and therapists and activists, we get highly concerned when we hear non-experts talking about particularly the subject of sex when we know that they don't know what the hell they're talking about, quite frankly. So, you know, we're here to challenge the status quo. The status quo of, I don't know if you're waiting 5 dates to have sex. I don't know if you're waiting 90 days. I don't know if you wait until you get married. I don't know, you know, how many cobwebs are downstairs. I don't know. But, you know, this is the conversation that's going to open your heart. I'm not even going to say change your mind, but I'm going to say it's going to open your heart. And that's what's more important, because when you open your heart, you open your ears and you open your eyes. So that's what this dialogue is going to be about on June 24th. So definitely, again, if you want to keep track of some of the things that we're saying and commenting on, you can find us on Facebook at Libido Talk and Ulysses Slaughter Presents Don't Wait Fornicate. So you can find us there. You can find the bios of the panelists that are going to be on our show. And, you know, we're here to have a good damn time as well. We're definitely here to have a good time. Right, Ulysses?
Well,
absolutely.
I, for one, am excited about this because when I saw the lineup, the all-stars that you all are bringing out, and Frenchie, when, you know, even being on the calls with you and Tazima, I mean, I hear the power and the depth that you two bring, and I'm just blown away. Ulysses and I've talked about that sometimes, and this is going to be an extraordinary panel, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, man, and we're already looking at where we can move this thing to. We're done in June. We're looking toward New York. We're looking toward Chicago. We're looking toward Philadelphia. We are already talking about what's next, because there's a lot of ground to cover with this conversation, a lot of people to talk with, and a lot of hearts, as you said, Frenchie, a lot of hearts to open up. I want to step back for just a second and talk about some of the things that people have to overcome that you all know of when you talk to people. What are the things that people have to overcome as it relates to the laws of sex? Frenchie, you mentioned one of them is, like, you know, how much time you should be taking to do whatever you're going to do. You should wait 90 days. Somebody says some shit like you should wait 90 days and think that, you know, that coming from a comedian, of course, you should laugh.
Yeah, because that was funny, wasn't it? Jokes on
Yeah,
us.
That was real funny. That's right.
Particularly when rules like this come from people who don't apply it to their own lives.
Yeah.
Like,
I
can just imagine, you know, let's say Steve Harvey was not married, and then he meets a woman in his status, in his economic status, in his power, and a woman, you know, he finds a woman attractive, and they spend some time together, and she says, oh, you know, I'm going to make you wait at least 90 days. I could just see him laughing. I could see that mustache moving. really? You know, just, you know, in all three of your marriages, did you wait 90? I've never once heard him say he waited. I've never once heard him say he waited. I've never once heard him ask men to wait. Why are you only asking women to wait? Why are men's bodies not as precious as women's bodies? Why
so we
can't
got the,
this be a mutual exchange?
Absolutely. Totally agree. Totally agree. And I to your point, Frenchie, this is like a once a year conversation for him, perhaps, and maybe it's for ratings. Maybe it's that one that he does because he knows he's going to a particular audience and a particular response to it, ratings. But some people that talk about this every day of their life and give consideration to these things every day of their life, and compared to what they know, Steve Harvey don't know shit. But I think there's just this way that we put people like him and others up on pedestals because they're on TV and they've got game shows. Like, they're the ones that know what's good for us. So we got the time thing. What other laws are we talking about when it comes to sexual engagement? What other reasons do people
gender laws
wait? Gender laws. Right. Absolutely.
Sexual
there's
bias.
Another one. Yep. And then there's, I think I heard what you said earlier, there's the religious aspect of it. We got the time, we got the gender, we got the religious aspect of it. And some of this is grounded in our childhood. Once again, we're looking at what kind of stuff was said to us when we were children around sex. I don't remember, Frenchie, anybody ever saying to me, you got to wait because it's so good that you just won't be able to handle it right now. What I got was, which, you know, that's a good one. You could get herpes. You could get all the things people would say that you could possibly get. But nobody said anything about how good it was. what they did was they said, you got to be safe. It's funny because in this era of safety, all I see everywhere I go are flu shots for safety, this thing for safety, buckle up for safety. Everything is about safety. And so there's a way that we're constantly being told not to take risk. And certainly as it relates to sex, we're being told not to take risk. It's dangerous out
there. Yeah, definitely. And you know, I guess just Ulysses, the way that we've talked about this before is how these things are fear-based. And
absolutely,
that fear is used to govern and to lead, you know, the masses. And well, one of the things that as I'm listening to you repeat what Frenchie said, I mean, I think it's brilliant, and no one it's true. I have never been told also, you know, how that the reason to wait is because this is an amazing thing that I'm going to one day open myself up to. And then when, as you were talking, I was thinking about who are the people who said this to me? Who are the people who gave me the advice that I received on this? And how are they doing in their sex lives? And what came to me is that, you know, coming back to my own conditioning and how I grew up and what I thought life was going to be for me as I got older. And I thought it was going to, you know, there was going to be some period of time when sex was good, but then it dies off and then it just becomes, well, those were the old days. You know, this is what life used to be. This is what sex used to be. But, you know, we don't do that. Now my wife and I sleep in separate beds and, you know, we don't talk to each other very much. But, you know, I see a lot of that. And I think, when I think back to what you all are just saying right now about how we're given what it is that we're going to look forward to, there's no wonder. You know, if I'm looking forward to hold off from having sex because there are all these bad things that could happen to me, why would I think that, you know, as I grow older, I'm just going to walk into more and more wonderfulness?
That's a good way of putting it. Wonderfulness. I don't know. And you're right, well, man. It seems like that's ruined. That is that. Go ahead, Frenchie.
I was just going to add, you know, I mean, the biological factors alone will always lead us to sex. You know, we go through puberty as children because we're supposed to arrive at through a developing and a sexual nature. I mean, God didn't put 5,000 nerve endings in my clitoris for no reason for me to deny myself. I'm sorry. That's just not plausible that he would say, okay, now that, you know, I've created these sexual organs, I want you to never use them. Don't use them for however many years it takes for you to get married. Don't use them to connect. I'm sorry, but I feel God when I'm intimate with someone. God is, that's why I'm always calling out her name and his name. I mean, that's why I do it, because she's present. So
right.
I can't imagine, you know, I mean, but that's also why I don't, for me, subscribe to, you know, religious beliefs that would suppress who I am innately. I like my deities to run around naked, and I like them to be pleasurable gods. I like my God to be, you know, pleasing and joyful, not jealous and rageful. You know, you say God is a jealous God. No. Like, why is that the attribute that we attach to who we pray to? Why would that be the attribute that we use versus loving, endearing, nurturing? When was the last time we heard God is a nurturing God? God is a loving God, a horny God. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We don't get those messages. And you know, last time I checked, you know, love was a beautiful thing, and making babies is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And building villages and connections is a beautiful thing. So I'm just not about to move my sexuality into a negative space. Now, sometimes I may have, seldom have I regretted someone that I was intimate with, very seldom. But I still received something out of it. I still did, no question about it. And I know they still dream about me anyway. So, you know, it's all good.
If you just tuning in, you were just listening to the humble Frenchie Davis. This is Sex and the Struggle. My name is Ulysses Butch Slaughter. My brother David Freeman is on with us as well. Hey, Dave, it's about 9:46 on us, and you got something coming up soon, too. What's going on for you in June?
Yeah, so, we've been having this call for several months now, and
yeah.
I'm just blown away by I don't know whether they call Frenchie a guest. He's a staple in this project, and also in the work going forward. But the depth of the people that, you know, Frenchie, there's Tazima, Bridge has been on. I'm just in awe at all of the depth that you all bring to this program. And you know, Ulysses, you and I talk about this sometimes. But for me, this has all been a sort of a relatively new thing for me, where, you know, I've come from a background where, for me, it was, you know, I live mostly in my masculine, and now I'm opening up myself to feel into what, you know, what does my body want? What does, you know, what do I want? What do I feel? What does that connection mean for me? What do I get from that? All of that is something that I didn't have access to before. And as I start opening myself up to that, there's just been so much desire just spilling out into what I want to see, what I want to create, what I want to be a part of. And that's what I'm trying to do. And so what I've been exploring with my own self and inviting others to come along on is, you know, I'm creating experiences that I want to be a part of. And this is people who want to come out and play and play with each other in a way that's connecting, and where we're really feeling each other, not just, you know, Frenchie, you talked about counting and commodifying. One of the things that has really awakened in me is how much connection means to me, and how much that just being connected to someone in a way that I really feel home or at home with that person really nourishes me in a way that I don't get otherwise. And so mm-hmm. when I look at experiences that I want to be a part of, I want that. You know, I don't want to go to some place where I'm going to walk in and I get to pretend to be someone else, and someone else pretends that I'm, you know, I have attributes or accolades that I don't have, that, you know, I don't need that. I want to be real with somebody, and that's what I enjoy, and that's what I create. So Ulysses alluded to, we have my partner Betsy and I have a retreat coming up July 1st and 2nd, where we're going to be in Maine, and we're going to have, I guess I'll just call it like a sexy camping retreat, where we're all going to spend the weekend exploring and learning about some of the things that we've developed over the last 2 years and in our own practice. And we're going to share that with people. And we've got a large community of people who are also opening and sharing things with us. And it's just a really good time when we get together and do things like that.
Well, thank you, man. My hope is that as you do the stuff, man, it's you'll give as much detail as possible for people who listen to and struggle. And if they want to be involved, if they want to participate, love for them to know how to get in touch with you and how to participate in the things that you're doing. Something came to mind for me while. Go ahead, bro.
I was gonna say I'll post it on our page. I'll post the link there, so everyone's invited. Just send us a note. We'll get in touch with you, and we'll go from there.
Good. Earlier, and one that's been on my mind quite a bit. It's around breaking and making the laws of sex, and part of it has to do with attraction. And you know, I think there's a way. Frenchie, you said something about this earlier about controlling the image, what it means to control mm-hmm. the image, and you can control the behavior. And one of the areas that people don't talk a whole lot about, people aren't challenged around the rules of attraction. And what I mean by that is that we are without question conditioned in this society to see certain people as beautiful. Waves and shapes are propped up in front of us, and they are said to be beautiful. And so when we talk about being attracted to people and wanting to be with people, I often wonder what kind of states of mind we're in, where we are seeing connection possibilities because conditioned toward a particular look, a particular color, a particular size, shape. And there's laws, whether they be internal, some of them are internal, then there's external laws that have been put, say, I want to be that type of person. So, for example, maybe a woman wants to be with the guy who's got just like muscles popping out of his mouth and shit. You know, he's got a six pack. And to be with somebody who doesn't look like that is would be breaking the law of attraction. You would be just totally going against what the mainstream said you should be going after. And I know, I'm not going to bullshit. I've struggled with that. I've struggled with what does it mean to be over there when so many people around me have created laws or rules that say I should be over there. And so it makes it difficult when it comes to the physical aspect of sex to creep into those spaces with those people that everybody else thinks you have no business over there. You doing over there? Am I making sense?
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. And in fact, I'd take that even one more step further, because you're talking about the impression of others and where they think you should be. But we also have our own preferences. And so, you know, sometimes it might not have anything to do with my influence from others outside, but inside my own mind, I've got these lines that I've drawn in my head and you know, my preference is this and I want that, and it may prevent me from looking outside of those lines to something else that might be really good for me, and I may be missing out.
And so Dave, there's a struggle there. There's a need for me, and there's a need to get about attraction with me, that if I close my eyes, I would be able to I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure if this is, you know, approved, so to speak. It's a difficult thing. It requires practice of awareness for me to know I'm living in my own rights regarding what I'm attracted to. Having someone tell me who I should work that out a little bit more. I know what I'm trying to say. I'm not sure if it's coming across, but it is. It's this issue of how do you exactly what it is that you're attracted to. You know, and it doesn't have to be one time and time, different things. And you try, like ice cream. And it's important for me to make sure that I am following my desires that have been induced. You know, the way our desires have been induced, fed the shit that we should desire. I mean, look at what people do all day long, man. That we live our lives. People have been fucking hypnotized into believing that life should be a particular way.
Right.
And so, you know, level of consciousness when it comes to.
Okay, I think you're breaking up a little bit, but I think I get your point that, you know, I guess if I were to boil it down, I'd say that we all have a lot of conditioning to work through in this case, you know, whether it's conditioning from, you know, our own mind and these lines that we've drawn in our own minds with our own preferences, or if it's responding to our peers and everyone outside of us, causing us to, you know, take paths that are not our true nature.
Yeah, I with this, as we're talking about fornicate, what we're saying is go against, not necessarily just against, but go for what you feels right to you. Go for what feels right for you. And sometimes I think we talk about that we're going to oppose something, but it's not about opposing anything, it's about going forward that you feel. Because just running away from something that you can get what you're after versus knowing what you want and going after what it is that you want and not just running away from something else. So I'm looking forward to Don't Wait For It. I'm looking forward to hearing from people about the challenges that they've had around the rules that have been prescribed to them, how they're working through that. I think that it's important that folks who spend a lot of time talking about are going to make ourselves available for those people who want to hear a different thing other than what they've gone. We don't have last seconds. Frenchie, any last parting words for us?
Don't wait. Shit.
Plano, don't wait. Shit. You got to get those tickets. You got to get the tickets. Go to Eventbrite. Don't wait. Get your tickets.
$10. Like, you know, get your advance tickets now. It's $10 for information is priceless, and you'll never be able to speak to a sex clinician, therapist for $10. So come on, get your therapy, get to church, all in one place, and, you know, let's all, you know, conversely fornicate together, you know.
Oh, man, that shit's so hot. June 24, 2017, Nation's Capital, that is the Atlas Performing Arts Center. Don't wait. Go to Eventbrite. Don't wait. Brother Dave, it's always a pleasure to have you. We are going to be in contact a lot over the next few weeks leading up to a lot of great stuff. My name is
Yes, pleasure is mine.
Ulysses Butch Slaughter, Frenchie Davis, David Freeman, we are signing out. Thank you for joining us here on Sex and the Struggle. We will talk with you soon. Good night, everyone.
Good night.